English cups, about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, by the hell.
But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to American Red Devils Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir, how you doing? How you doing? 1-0 victory over the Wolves in the FA Cup third round. Finally breaking the boogeyman that has had our number over the last few instances. So big result at home. Wasn't always pretty, but we got the job done. Juan Mata with the game winner.
Special one, 1-0. That's all it took. I thought this game had extra time written all over it. Kind of a bore. Some opportunities for each side. Ole had to bring in Rashford. We'll get to that a little later. But again, I'll take it at home. A win against Wolves. Tough Wolves side, sir. At halftime, you texted me, don't think we're better than Wolves, but we end up winning.
We did. We ended up winning. I think they had a better half. They were definitely better in the first 30, 35 minutes. Kind of turned it on a little bit at the end of the first half. And I think we were better in the second. But it could have gone either way, you know.
All right, so you're walking that back.
Could have gone either way.
So we're better than Wolves. You think we're better than Wolves or what?
That was at halftime.
I mean,
we had to put that second half. We had a better second half.
They're a dangerous team. Sign up their director of football. They seem to be doing it right, and then their coach is kind of hitting his stride.
A what?
In the EPL.
A DOF?
Yeah,
I've never heard
of football. Yeah, what's exactly that, sir? We could use one of those. Of course, talking about Manchester United 1-0 at Old Trafford. That was the FA Cup third round replay, as if we need another match with the squad that we have at the moment. Ole, starting 11, 4-2-3-1, Romero in net, Mr. Clean Sheet, I'm going to call him Mr. Clean, Aaron Wan-Bissaka right back, Lindelof, McGuire center back pairing, Brandon Williams, B-dubs at left back. When he's on the list on the score sheet, I think we're going to win, sir.
Anything's possible, B-dubs.
Fred Matic midfield, pretty much the undroppables. Mata, Greenwood at 10, James on the left, and Martial up top. I mean, Rashford was omitted from this starting 11. What'd you make of it when it was released? Did you think this was enough to do it at home?
I was a little concerned. I think there's a lot of merit in resting Rashford. He's just played so many minutes, and he's just, you know, got a great track record against the Scouse Bastards. So I think Ole was hoping to only need to use him if he had to. Good to see Mata again. He's the man in form. You know, you
on
think
the
that,
right.
You know,
Mata on the right.
Yeah. He can pick out a good pass, and you know that they're going to be sitting back and making us cut through their defense. So I was looking forward to this game. I thought, you know, based on who we have at our disposal, this is basically it.
For me, Greenwood at 10. I didn't really like that. I thought Rashford being omitted, clearly something has to be bothering him. I thought that if he was healthy, he would start midweek and then against Liverpool be fine. We have a Sunday game, obviously not Saturday because we have the replay. So I was surprised not to see Rashford on the score sheet. And I kind of thought, you know, Wolves, they probably got the better of us with this roster out there, right? We don't have McTominay. We don't have, obviously, the million-dollar mystery man, Paul Pogba, isn't in there. At home, we would have a bounce, but I just didn't think we would have enough.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, it's not our first starting 11 that you pick if everybody was available. It's basically who we got left at this point. You know, Fred and Matic are de facto starters all the time because there's just no one left to put in the center of the park. James, Martial, they're always, you know, have some dangerous weapons in their
James
locker.
James has been fading lately. He's been fading. I kind of have some concern with him and Greenwood and playing Greenwood in a new role here. Martial up front. That kind of surprised me. I'd rather see Greenwood at number 9, maybe put Pereira at 10, James on the left. I would like that a little better, but Ole, I think, got away with one because the first half didn't really go our way. And jumping into the first half, I mean, 10th minute, Wolves score, but the goal was disallowed. You pray to the VAR gods every night before you go to bed, sir, and this one ended up going our way.
The VAR gods have been smiling down on us for sure. This is one that, you know, bad pass from Fred absolutely knocks
from, who?
From Matic. He made up for the rest of the game, but hits into Matic, and then the ball is basically just like fallen to Jota and Neto. And somehow Jimenez hit off his hand. I don't know how they called that one. They've been calling a lot of those. Declan Rice missed a goal for West Ham for a similar kind of incident. We've been lucky with VAR. We've had unbelievable luck with VAR,
including a night in Paris last season. Earlier this year, VAR has been friendly to Manchester United, but it's been more friendly to the Scouse Bastards, I would say. But what do you make of VAR in the game? Are you buying it? I mean, I don't like it. I didn't like it on the Mata goal either. It's just something that ruins the game. You have to wait till you see the replay to celebrate something. We want to get it right, but do we need to get it that right for the sake of the spirit of the game?
I mean, as a Manchester United fan, I love it because it's been going our way all season. I mean, we've got some unbelievable Aubameyang goal that
kind of weird offside. That was like
a
one time,
but we've had a lot of goals that were disallowed from the opposition, and penalties given. So we've actually had pretty good luck all in all. I'm not a fan of VAR.
I think it makes the game worse.
I mean, I hate the fact that they review every single goal. The players don't even know if they can celebrate. It takes a lot of the spontaneity out of the celebrations and just what it's all about. It definitely adds an element of slowing the whole game down, and I don't think it's a net positive overall.
And at the end of the day, replay is not guaranteed to get it right. That's the funniest thing. You're just providing, there's certain calls that they can get right pretty easily with VAR. But again, you saw that challenge was Aubameyang got sent off, and then Robertson early on in the Tottenham-Liverpool game went in with same exact challenge, high on the ankle, and he didn't get sent off, and VAR reviewed that. And you look at the two challenges, Aubameyang and Robertson, they're both the same, VAR, and one gets a red card and one doesn't. So at the end of the day, how can you have consistency across the platform? That's when you're kind of saying, okay, does replay really help when they're getting it right and getting it wrong?
Well, until we have AI robots doing the refereeing, so there's always going to be an element of human error, even when you're looking at a video screen that can't get everything right. So it's like all it's doing is adding a level of complexity to it. It's slowing the game down, and calls are going to go wrong no matter what. So like I said, I think it's worth scrapping at this point. I think it's been, if you look at the inconsistency of calls in the league, in the League Cup, it's worth getting rid of at this point.
Hey, we'll take it in the 10th minute. So Wolves, big goal, disallowed. 30th minute, another crazy chance. Header off the post from Wolves. I believe it was pretty close, but it went off the post, kind of ricocheted, went back to them. We cleared it, and that's one of them worth that one, and that would have gone to VAR on the offsides. But I think Brandon Williams, his left or right boot was keeping the Wolves player onside in that scenario.
So we lucked out again, because in the first 30 minutes, it was a little nervy.
Was it a shot or a header? Did I get that right?
It was like a header, and then the guy was offsides, and it skirted across goal. Yep. But we had some, we were hanging on at points because they looked very dangerous on the left. Traore was playing there and had Wan-Bissaka's number a couple times. They're a dangerous team. They always have our number. They always look threatening. You got all kinds of playmakers in that squad. So we had to turn it around a little bit in the first half.
33rd minute, Martial had a chance from distance. Nothing doing. And 42nd, great chance for Dan James. Just misses it wide. I thought that was a great chance to goal. So United kind of waking up towards the end of the half. Going into second half, sir, would you make any changes to United? Clearly, Ole has to be concerned after watching that hot start from Wolves.
No, no doubt. I think he was encouraged by the uptick in play towards the end of the first half. But he would say, you guys got to play faster. You got to push forward. You got to play with more intensity and quicker. It's got to be faster because it was a little pedestrian when we did get the ball. And we'd also often give it away quite a bit as well. So they just had to be, tighter, better.
Yeah, there was a lot of frustration. There were some passages of play in the first half where I thought we were pinging around pretty good. I think, Matic, he had one really terrible pass, but I think Matic has been pulling the strings on defense, working well on defense in the first half and going forward. I did think we had some periods, maybe a phase of play where we were pinging it around, looking better than we have in the past when we come out flat, right? This isn't quite the Aston Villa match. I mean, this is Wolves at home, and we were able to hang on. Jumping in second half, 52nd minute, James goes close after fizzing a shot across the box, goes wide. In the 64th minute, Ole, hot on the trigger, double sub, Pereira and Rashford for James and Greenwood. Do you think he's saving Pereira for the Derby, sir? What do you think?
I mean, hey, he looked like a pit bull chasing players around when he was on defense. And I think that's the kind of work rate that Ole appreciates, makes up for, some of the technical things he might be lacking. But he's definitely a player that could feature. But Mata might be taking his spot, might be Juanfield.
And he gave Greenwood the hook over Martial, which I thought at the time was unfair to Greenwood. I thought he should have been put up at number nine. What'd you make of Greenwood coming off early?
Well, he's getting hit a few times by the center backs, and I think just try to protect the young player. Doesn't want to expose him too much. Give him a full 90 minutes, and he knows Martial can handle it.
Apparently, Gareth Southgate looking at Greenwood for Euro 2020.
Don't rush the lad. Don't rush him.
That's a big one.
United's the priority.
That's great. His stock's going up in my book, sir. Hey, we didn't have to wait long. The special one in the 67th minute.
That's nice from Martial into Mata. Mata, flag stays down, and he's finished.
He's finished it, but he's going to go to VAR. Will he be offside when that ball's delivered to him from Martial? It's a brilliant run and finish from Mata. Will it count?
Well, Juan Mata
can't
has
celebrate,
had a look
sir.
Over
you got to go
shoulder.
VAR.
The referee's assistant on the far side. The flag has stayed down. Mata celebrates, and the referee Kevin Friend says to Wolves, look, VAR will look at this and they'll decide. Oh, it's a lovely dink finish, and Juan Mata has scored the first goal of this third round tie.
Lovely dink finish by the special one over Ruddy. He had a few good saves on us during that game. He had a hell of a game leading up to that chance. Look, great ball by Martial. Hit him on the break. Juan Mata, he has that pace. Vintage Mata, and a great finish on his left foot going to the right. I love everything about Juan Mata playing on the right and kind of looking a little reinvigorated. The Juan Mata of old, we've been waiting for this.
I mean, eat my words, right? I criticized the lad's speed, the fact that we couldn't attack at speed, and here he does score a breakaway goal. Unbelievable chip finish to better the goalkeeper. Juan Mata still has that in his locker. It's great to see. And I think he's going to make himself very important in the starting 11 going forward, right? He's like guaranteed starter for Anfield.
I would say absolutely, because the form he's on, you got to, the thing is, when a player picks up form, you got to play him. You absolutely got to play him. Moving on, 79th minute, Rashford goes down with an injury, replaced by Lingard. This is absolutely heartbreaking. So Rashford comes on. And what is that? Within 13 minutes, 15 minutes, he's off?
Not great.
I mean, Ole admitted post-match it was a mistake to bring him on. You could say, I don't know, do we really need Rashford in this game? You know, we had Martial feed Mata for the goal. Mata probably had some more freedom because Rashford's on the pitch. He had a few good runs, looked sharp, but you know.
As he has been, player in form for sure. I can't fault the coach for putting him in. If they were winning and they put in Rashford, that'd be one thing. But you're chasing the game, you're trying to win, and you have no other options in attack. You got an 18-year-old striker playing. Dan James, who's out of form. I don't know. I don't fault the move. You know, it ends up biting them, but like, that is football.
But here's that's all she wrote for the match. Manchester United 1, Wolves 0. On to the fourth round, through a big opponent. I mean,
good defense at the end. The boys held the line well. I think Maguire played really well.
Yep.
Brandon Williams had another great game. Really, like, shut down Traore. So you have to credit the defense for having a great, great second half.
So we talked about this, and I was going to text you today. Clearly, weekday matches we're not watching together. But FA Cup, do we really need it? It's one of these games where, like, look, beating Wolves at home, I want to win every game we play. Clearly, I'm cheering on this team. I'm watching it. But you had said in a prior podcast, why do we need the FA Cup? Who cares? It's not a big deal. We already have plenty of other competitions. And this is when you look at Rashford going down. And FA Cup's not getting us top four, right? You know, that's Europa League or the league. And that's probably the most important thing that we could get as a club, right? We need to be in the Champions League sooner rather than later. I would say if you looked at the bookies, they'd probably tell you, Not next year.
All the injuries we have. But you have to say, it's like we as Manchester United fans want to be competing in every competition we participate in. So if you put out some thin squad with a bunch of junior academy lads, people will be giving them slack for that because they expect us to go out every game and play to win. So you're conflicted. We have a thin squad. We don't have a lot of options. He's got to play the same players he's going to play at Anfield that he played over the weekend as well. So it's hard because you want to win. You want to compete. We're going to be kicked out of the League Cup, right? You don't know what's going to happen.
Well, that's
Europa.
Where the Rashford doesn't make it onto the pitch argument occurs, right? Which is that, why are we bringing in Rashford in, you know, for 30 minutes in the FA Cup, which doesn't get us top four, and we have Liverpool, our biggest rival, at the weekend? I would hope for some, you know, reservations from Ole before he brought in Rashford, right? Because this is the risk. You have he's clearly overtired. He's playing well, but he needs a rest, and he decided to bring him on. And look, it cost us. He could have brought in Lingard, still got the Mata goal, and then Rashford's healthy for Liverpool, right? It's over, when he gets overtired, that's when they get injured.
Yeah, but that's hindsight is 20/20, because at the end of the day, it's like you're going to put on your attacking threat that's been the most potent all season because you need a
goal.
He
looked like he was injured in the last match, sir. So it's one of those things where Rashford has been carrying some knocks, and you know, I just... Look, the lad's got to be healthy.
Right? We've got three strikers. We've got no one else to put in. It's like you have no other options other than putting Rashford in if you need a goal. I don't fault Ole. We're trying to win the game. I know if he has not, they shouldn't be playing in the FA Cup.
It's a Manchester United move. It's an Ole move. It's all in, you know, not even thinking about it, which, I mean, most people, if you look at the odds for Liverpool, it's probably an L, right? So maybe the FA Cup, maybe we win the FA Cup and this was worth it. You never know. I like to say we should try to win all competitions we're in regardless, even though our squad's so thin. But again, you know, playing Liverpool is a tall enough task without Marcus Rashford, our main man.
It's true.
You know, but that's like...
This is why you don't sell a lead foot Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez without replacing
them. I don't miss Lukaku, though.
I mean, I'm not saying I do, but you have to replace... You need to get some...
He's scoring goals in Italy, but
you need backup. All I'm saying is, like, if you're going to sell two attacking options that you have... Yeah, you had one step up in Greenwood, which is an unexpected benefit. Like, 18-year-old scoring goals, which we didn't necessarily expect... But like we shouldn't just have Martial, Greenwood, and Marcus Rashford. And that's it. You know, we need more strikers than that. We're Manchester United. You have two senior strikers and one academy player.
Holland was coming to United. What do you mean?
Well,
you
know, he did it. Like, where is he?
I know. Match reaction, stats-wise, possession, United 57% of the ball to Wolves 43%. They tried to counterattack us. That has been an effective strategy at Old Trafford this season. And looking at the, let's see, one second here, pulling up the stats. Shots on target, Man United 6 to Wolves 2. Manchester United have won each of their last six home matches in the FA Cup without conceding a single goal in this run. Wolves have been eliminated at the third round stage or earlier in seven of their last nine FA Cup campaigns, this having made it to at least the fourth round in each of their nine seasons in a row before this. So, look, getting Wolves is a tough draw, and then bouncing them at home after a replay, I say, is well-deserved to United, well-deserved to Ole. And United have won nine of the last 10 home matches against Wolves in all competitions. They've drawn one, keeping six clean sheets in those games. That's playing at home. Playing at the Molyneux, it's a different story.
Different story. They've had our number for a while. It doesn't feel like we've never lost them at home just because we have so many, you know, lackluster results to them over the recent time. But it's good to finally get a win.
Sir, what do we know? Let's check in with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
We really can't catch a break on the injury from Marcus.
Yeah, of course I am. I didn't want to play him, but seems like it's a different... I think he got a knock to his knee or something in his back. But he's been struggling for a little while. That's why we've kept him away today. But we needed the win. He was involved in the goal, so that was a positive. But it backfired. So I can just say that we'll do anything we can to get him fit for Sunday.
Did he ask to come on then?
To come on?
Yeah. Or did he ask you to come on?
No, he doesn't decide if he comes on or not. That's me. So
he then stayed on though.
Sorry?
After the injury, he stayed on.
No, that was because Jesse wasn't... He was down in the corner flag, so any moment a tie like this can go into extra time, and that would have been
Jesse wasn't even working worse. Out.
So he had to stay on for 2 minutes just to get the ball out. There was no chance he was going to be able to run. No, it's football, and that's I'd never ever complain about all the injuries we've got. That's just part and parcel of it. And at the moment,
Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, answering a lot of questions about Marcus Rashford. Seems like the press is worried about this big game come Sunday, and Ole kind of, you know, saying the right things, right? You know, can't complain.
Getting a little defensive, understandably. You know, he thinks he made the right choice by bringing him on, trying to win the game. Karen and Knock, didn't know that, so that's news. But it looks like all the pressers are going to be jumping over his chest.
I think he's been Karen and Knock for a while. Right. I mean,
riding him. You know, he's been carrying us, so it's fair enough.
Like you said, sir, it's a thin squad. Rashford goes down. Liverpool, I mean, I don't have a... I don't have a lot of confidence. I mean,
yeah, what do the bookies think?
The bookies, the odds are insane. I mean, we're playing away. Let's just get into it, sir. There's that next match. We were playing the Scouse Bastards Sunday, January 19th, 8:30 a.m. So we're not going to be necessarily waking up your neighbors that early. It's at Anfield. It's a terrible place. We all know it. You know, put the Scouse on the top, burn the lot. The leaders of Liverpool are aiming to extend their 12-match winning run and defeat a Manchester United side who are the only team to take points off them this season. Wow, that's huge. I mean, the lead Liverpool has in the league is just it's absolutely comical at this point, sir. It's one of those things where I don't even look at it. 61 points.
14 points.
Manchester City, 47 in second. Leicester, 45. Chelsea, 39. Manchester United, 34. And again, we drop points. Chelsea looking to add to that daylight. I still think that we can grab Chelsea. I think they're sitting on quicksand with Super Frank, as they like to say, right?
We need to put together some results. We've got a tough run of fixtures coming up.
We need a win. We need a win at Anfield. We need a win, obviously. We're not going to get it.
I wouldn't count on a win, especially with Marcus Rashford, who's our Liverpool killer, out of the squad, looking like he might be out of the squad. But you never say die. It's Manchester United. We can, you know, Juan Mata could pull out a brace like he did like many years ago under LVG. There's always a chance.
I remember we were watching that game at British Columbia of all places, sir. That was we were on a ski trip. We watched that bicycle kick from Juan Mata. I'll never forget that. Unbelievable. The white jersey with the black collar, sir.
Long sleeve, baby.
Yeah, long sleeve. Juan Mata. Look, he's in form. So anything's possible. Do you think Ole is going to even try to change with the 4-2-3-1? I mean, he could go like super defensive on this one. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Playing out of the back is going to be a risky proposition with all their attacking players just like swarming all over us. I'd be interested to see how Ole
it's
goes.
It's going to be counter, think, right? You know, counter all day. Dan back, James, but load him up.
He doesn't
right?
even have three center backs to play three at the back if he wanted to.
I know. Well, Bailly's getting close. He's doing bicycle kicks for the reserves, mate. And fifth placed Man United are seeking a fourth win in five matches as they attempt to close the five-point gap to Chelsea. And Liverpool will host Manchester United for a league match starting the day top of the table for the first time since September 1990.
Amazing.
When they won 4-0 under Kenny Dalglish.
30 years.
The same Liverpool legend and manager who backed Luis Suarez for racist behavior against Patrice Evra has yet to apologize for it either, even though Carragher has. Another reason to not like Liverpool, if we didn't already. Next bullet. The Reds are unbeaten in 38 Premier League matches, the third longest such run in the competition's history. And when we talk about Reds, we're talking about Liverpool, not Manchester United. The two longer streaks, Arsenal's 49-match record from the Invincible season, it was in that 49-match sequence, and then Chelsea had 40. I believe under Mourinho, and they're both ended by Manchester United at Old Trafford, so not at Anfield. Since losing both league matches to Liverpool in 2013-14, Manchester United have lost just one of their last 11 Premier League encounters against the Reds. Look, we play pretty well against big time opposition. I have a feeling with the players we have available, we might buck that trend, sir. it's one of those games where, you know, that we went to play City, you know, at their house. I'm like, we can do it. You know, but this one with Rashford, I bet you'll start him. I bet you he'll start, right? Even though, I mean, he'll, you think, what do you think? He's going to make it or not?
I think he will. I think he's a tough lad and he knows how important this match is to him as a Manc and to us as, you know, United fans and to him as a player that wants to get one over on the Scouse Bastards, break their streak. It's going to be a tough one, but I think like he's a pretty tough young guy, and I think he'll make it for the starting 11. But I think, I don't know if it's going to be that ugly. I think Ole's going to know that they're going to be looking to attack us.
I don't think it's going
to
be that ugly.
You know, we'll see. Like, it could be very ugly, but you never know. I'm hoping to be an optimist.
You text me today, Wolves are better than us. You know, well, I don't know about that. I think.
Certainly we're on the first half.
They're like, we play 10. I think out of 10 matches, we probably win 5. Draw 3, Wolves win 2. I think something like that. Liverpool
hasn't been that way recently.
Liverpool is probably, you know, skewed pretty. You know, well, we've won a lot at home against Wolves. We, you know,
Liverpool's probably the opposite, right? They win 5.
Yeah.
Draw three. We win two. You know, at this point.
Okay. Well, let's put this. That's a bad statement. Probably Wolves. Because we're more like 50-50. The venue, seriously dependent on the venue, right? With Wolves. I think it's that even. And we probably have like a slight advantage against Wolves. Because they didn't look that threatening up front in either match. I mean, they did have their like one or two chances. They have some fancy players on their team, but I don't think they. I think it was more us playing down than it was Wolves kind of just blowing us out of the water. Now, when you get to cities and the Liverpools of the world, they can just blow you out of the water, and that is a major concern for Sunday morning. At least we're not getting up at 6 a.m. That's all I got to say.
4 a.m. Yeah. It could be a 4:30 match, like it has been in the past.
And obviously. The Liverpool versus Manchester United rivalry is well documented, known as a Northwest Derby. Huge. These towns do not like each other. They're so close. About an hour away, and Liverpool people talk like Jamie Carragher. They talk very high pitched at Manchester, little deeper voices. And, you know, it's considered to be one of the biggest rivalries in association football. Along with the Old Firm Derby in Scotland, Super Clásico in Argentina, El Clásico in Spain. I mean, this is the number one. I mean, I've gone to it once at Old Trafford. I saw back in the day when we won the league, Jisung Park with the header, Wayne Rooney with the pen. That was when Fernando Torres, the blonde Torres, in form for Liverpool, Carragher on the field as well. Sir Alex at the helm. Great win at home. Like I said, the bars ran out of beer, sir. It was like one of those. I've never been at a bar where like we are out of beer. Like
no more.
Even though everyone here wants to purchase like 10 more beers, we do not have any to sell. That is how insane this derby is. And usually it has a late kickoff because they don't want fans getting real fired up before the game. It usually has a really early kickoff. And look, here's the thing about Liverpool and Manchester United. Manchester United lead Liverpool in terms of total trophies. We have 66, they have 63. We are both the most successful teams in England. A lot of trophies between the two sides, 38 titles, 9 European Cups, 4 UEFA Cups, 1 UEFA Cup Winners Cup, 5 UEFA Super Cups, 19 FA Cups, 13 League Cups, 2 FIFA Club World Cups, 1 Intercontinental Cup, and 36 FA Community Shields. Now, Liverpool, they can tie us. They win the Champions League, they win the league, they win the FA Cup. They can essentially take us, sir, at 66, tie us for the most successful team in English history. And that's the one that bothers me, right? When Liverpool take that from us, that's something. I mean, like, look, the 20 league titles, that's big. We got two on them. They've yet to win one in, 30 years? So they get one. They could get two. They could tie us there. But again, I think more trophies overall, I think, is more important. But the problem is you factor the community shields in there. It kind of gets the argument doesn't get the 20 times.
I mean, they have the 6 Champions Leagues, which is that really cuts us.
That's sad. We won 3 only?
I know. It's a shame. But 2018 is still what it's all about when it comes to English football. They're going to get 19 this year. But I think United can actually do a rebuild. We can, maybe hold the line, hold them off. Pressure from City. I know we got a long way to go. I'm being like a cockeyed optimist, like a crazy United fan. We got at least 2 years of rebuilding.
We can maybe do the rebuild in one window during Euro 2020. I mean,
we need a double swoop in January, of course.
I do not think we're gonna get that double swoop.
No.
I'll
take a big scoop of
a single scoop,
Bruno Fernandes scoop.
We're getting a single scoop. We don't need to tell you more about why these teams hate each other. Like I said, the Suarez racism, that's one of them. Obviously, the bad blood between the two towns. It's just absolutely, it's venomous. The songs, everything about it is the best part about English football. So I hope to see few yellow cards on Sunday
sure
as well.
Will.
And look, let's get into the injuries here per the physioroom.com. Scott McTominay out till late Feb. I've heard Scott McTominay and Paul Pogba, I heard that they could be back earlier. Clearly just a rumor in the Twitterverse, but that's one thing. Physio room kind of goes by what Ole says. So these quotes are tied to the certain timelines. Pogba might make it back before February 1st, but McTominay looks to be later. Twanzebe, Rojo, they're late January. But again, Rojo, I think, has joined. Apparently, he's not joining PSG. He was just...
He was in a kit, right?
He was in a kit at their training facility. Maybe he was doing a tour. Either way, I think the reason why he was there, he could still go there. The word is he has an offer from Turkey, and they're trying to deal him to Sporting Lisbon for Bruno Fernandes. The issue being Sporting went Rojo. Rojo gets more money in Turkey. Rojo doesn't want to go to Sporting and take a pay cut so that we can get Bruno Fernandes. That was literally 2 days ago. That was from Simon Stone, who usually hears it from the source. It is probably the worst director of football in the history. Ed Woodward, who's destroying this great club. Marcus Rashford, lower back injury. We'll see. Ole says he's going to do everything he can to get him back. I think he'll probably feature because he knows what this fixture means and he knows what he means to the team at the moment. Luke Shaw, ate too many meat pies, a little sick, no return date. Bye, no return date. And Fosu Mensah. So the two that could come back, Fosu Mensah, Bae, that could be a big boost. Fosu Mensah, he can play in the midfield. I doubt Ole would feature him there, but he could play center back, could play right back, you know, could play CDM. We could mix it up. We do need players back from injury. So I would hope to see Bae and Fosu Mensah back soon.
Bae especially, because we have, you know, we're just so thin at center back. Maguire's had to play so many games, and I would love to see a fully fit Bae play next to Maguire. I think that'd be a great center back pairing for sure. And you could use him. We could use him if he had, you know, some games underneath his belt for Anfield, because they have so much pace that you'd love his pace in the field.
Prediction, Bae comes back, plays three games, lights out, and then gets injured.
You think he makes it three games?
Yeah, two and a half. He gets injured in the third game.
There you go. Yeah. Sounds about right.
All right, lineup, sir. Who do you have starting? Huge game, Scouse Bastards, Anfield away.
Sir,
who do we got?
This is who we got. We got Dave Saves in net. Who else? He's probably going to be a busy lad on Sunday, I would venture to say. Hopefully he's you know, using his superpowers to the good. And then a back four of Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, and Brandon Williams. A midfield of Matic and Fred. And then Mata is your number 10. Martial, Dan James, and Marcus Rashford.
Rashford makes it, and you're going to put Mata at number 10. I don't know about that one, sir. I'm going to say Dave saves world number one in net. Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof, and Brandon Williams. And I have to say, we are a different team. I think we've had a clean sheet in every game Brandon Williams has played for us this year, except for one where we let in three.
City.
exactly. So he is, we're a totally different team when he's on the field. I think he's an absolute game changer at the back for Manchester United. I'm going to do Fred Matic in the middle. I'm going to put Mata on the right, Pereira at 10. I'm going to say Dan James on the left and Martial up top. That's because Marcus Rashford does not make it back. Maybe he's on the bench. I don't know, sir. It's just one of those things where in my heart, I think he's going to play because he's like, you know, bulletproof, but I think he's been carrying some knocks and he does need some rest because you got to think long-term with him and it's the Scouse Bastards and, you know, we're lucky to get a draw, right?
We are. Yeah, to be fair, it's like,
it's more about defending than attacking this match, right?
It will be, you know, containing the damage for sure. Hopefully trying to nick one on the counter. You don't want to risk him. We have so many more games that are going to be so important for the season. And he's been unbelievably productive this year, really just coming into his own as a world-class talent. So I have to say, you probably want to ear towards the side of caution, you know, if you had to be, because you don't want to risk the lad. There's a lot of games to go.
Not at all. I mean, like, when it comes to like who could potentially play up top for this game, I think you got to play Mata on the right. What's your rationale for playing him at number 10, sir? Why would you play him at 10 when he's been lights out on the right?
Well, I figure there'd be a little bit of rotation. Dan James moving in.
But Pereira can play that work rate. He can drop into a three-man midfield. You know, then it's really, if you look at who we start,
I like Pereira 10. I mean, I like your lineup as well. You know, like hearing your lineup makes you think that's more likely than my lineup.
And maybe not Dan James, but, you know, on the left, like who else could you play on the left? You could play Martial, Greenwood. You could do a Martial on the left, Greenwood at number nine.
Yeah, that's not a bad
but
idea.
He's been reluctant to play Greenwood at number nine. And Martial, what would you make of his game against Wolves? Or you think he's like, he's pretty much undroppable, but it was one of those games where he didn't see a lot from him. He couldn't get in the flow and, you know.
It was a quiet match for him. You know, he was involved, obviously, in the goal with Mata. I thought he played well there.
And he came off the left.
He did. So maybe we'll see that. That could be something you want to see. Maybe that's why Greenwood was pulled early, because he might be used at Anfield.
All right, booking the bookies, sir. I mean, we got the William Hill odds here. We're logged in via VPN so we can bring you the latest British odds. They have more bets on matches than you can imagine. Say it ain't so. Liverpool to win at Anfield, -263. The draw, +380. And Manchester United to win, +750. I believe it was worse when we went to play City away. So things have kind of evened out, even though Liverpool are the odds-on favorite to win the league. Looking at both teams, the score is minus 110. No is minus 125. First goal scorer of the match, sir. Mohamed Salah, plus 350. Sadio Mane, plus 350. Divock Origi, plus 500, sir. I mean, like...
Are we having on the board?
no, this is for Liverpool. So look, the bookies at William Hill, they say Salah and Mane are number one to score. First goal scorer, Marcus Rashford, plus 550. Martial, plus 650. Greenwood, plus 750. Dan James, plus 2200. Juan Mata, plus 2500.
I like that one.
I like the Mata to score, Pereira to score, plus 2800. So if you look at those odds, it's like even Marcus Rashford with the injury is really up there. So what do you make of that?
Well, they're going to include him, right? Because they would love the punters to bet a guy that's not even going to play.
All right. So if you want to bet a certain score, Manchester United to win, you're going to get it. Manchester United to win 1-0 against Liverpool, then you get 18 times your money.
There you go.
18 times your money, sir. There's lots of different options here. Manchester United versus Liverpool, William Hill. Look, if you wanted the emotional hedge, you can bet Salah to score first, Liverpool to win. What do you think?
I like the 18 plus on odds, because that's my bet, sir, on the prediction. I'm calling 1-0 for United.
If you believe both teams will score and you bet Manchester United, you get 11 times your money, sir. That's we're living in a bizarre world. I have no idea how Liverpool got this good. You know, it's one of the... I mean, like, I think it's VAR. They cheated. You can't say anything good about them. But it happened so fast. It came out of nowhere. That's the one thing that surprises me. They're like... Before they, like, Emre Can, you know, they're like Lallana getting a lot of playing to Shaqiri, you know. So
but they got a good squad,
they got,
dude.
They got a bunch of Bayern guys
Van Dijk,
around.
Like, Mane.
They got Sturridge.
Salah turned into, like, a world
beater.
No,
I know, but they, like, it used to just be, like, Emre Can, yeah, like, Sturridge.
Danny
like,
Ings,
all,
bro.
Like, they're all, like, yeah, Danny Ings. Like, yeah, dude. Like, they're okay. Andy Carroll, and then all of a sudden, just, like, Firmino to the good, Salah to the good, Mane to the good, like,
Robertson.
Van Dijk to the good, Robertson to the good, Arnold to the, I mean, like.
They have a DOF.
A lot of things went their way as far as like their youth got really good in positions that they didn't buy. I mean,
they bought very well, to be fair.
They made a decision on the keeper that Woodward would not have had the stones to pull off. And like basically getting Karius, they go to the Champions League, Karius blows it, and they get rid of him at like a year later and then blow another 70 million on a keeper. I mean, that was a big decision. And Alisson, what he won. The trophy for best keeper of the year, whatever the, you know, Ballon d'Or is for the best keeper, and he won it. I mean, look, it sucks. It's frightening. It's absolutely just unbelievable. I'm waiting for them to just like disband and go join like Real Madrid and Barcelona, like
usually
like they usually do.
Still
like,
waiting.
Know, like
really?
Suarez, I'm out. You know?
They got to win a league first, and then they'll probably do it. Hopeful. I mean, they've assembled a very good squad.
They're terrible.
It's terrible to compliment them, but they're like a well-run organization.
Sir, don't compliment them.
They're a terrible club, but I'm just saying they're well-run. Because our club is so poorly run. It's so obvious.
I did not compliment them. I said they're terrible, but they are. They're winning more games faster than I would have thought they did.
There you go. That's some kind of spin.
That's some kind of fake news. I don't even know if I believe it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you do.
Score prediction, sir. You said it, but you know, reaffirm the score prediction.
1-0.
1-0 to Manchester United.
David De Gea makes like 10 ridiculous saves.
I can't predict the loss in my bones. I just can't do it. And the one thing about this Manchester United side that kills me is we just don't score a lot of goals. So even though we're not as good, you would think like 4-2, like some high scoring game. Like we score a few, we still lose. But it's either we score one and win, like you said, or we let in four and lose. I mean, there's no real... You know, I'm going to have to say I'm going to say 3-2 Manchester United, barn burner, you know, we're back, baby. We're back. Ole's at the wheel. How good does it feel? You know, just like the standard, sir, the standard.
I would love it. Hopefully there's a lot of goals and we're, you know, we come out the better of the two.
Ole's at the wheel, man. He's doing it. He's doing his thing. Man United are back.
You get a lot of that.
If they win, bro, we'll play that all pod.
I mean, it's just, hey. Never say die. We're Manchester United. We're going to play the Scouse Bastards. All I care about is I want to see that. I want to see a high work rate. I want to see tough old English challenges, sir, like the 40. You know, I want to see hard crunching challenges. I want to make them earn it. You know, if Liverpool, they didn't beat Tottenham by a lot. They're not as good as you think. And when these big games come up, it's like you look at us on paper. people are going to doubt us, right? You know, people are going to say, you look at us on paper, you look at Liverpool. Oh no, like Liverpool is totally going to beat us, right? Same thing with City when we went to play them in the derby. But there's, you still have the X factor because we're Manchester United.
We're always a chance.
The pressure's on them, right? Because they have to beat us. We're a big rival. Same thing with City. The pressure's on them. And, you know, maybe the stage could be a little too big for them because they've had a lot going on. Everything's bounced their way. We can pray to the VAR gods all weekend. Maybe that will be the difference.
They're doing more praying, bro. They've got an interconnection with the VAR. They're due to get murdered by VAR.
You know,
not at Anfield.
I would love nothing more than angry Klopp talking about a bad VAR call.
Teeth don't fit in his mouth. Too big for his mouth.
So look, we got a puncher's chance. That's all we need as Manchester United. We can do it. I'm going to say probably, you know, the odds of the bookies, they're a little too, you know, it should be like plus 500, I would think. You know, I think they're a little insulting, those bookies. A little insulting.
Not giving us a chance.
I'll take 750, sir. I put a tenner on it. All right, sir. United in the news. We got some big news here. A lot's going on, sir. Our first headline, Paul Pogba.
Is he re-signing a new contract?
Paul Pogba has come out in the press and said that he loves Manchester United, never going to leave. No. Actually, a fresh article. You know, it's January.
Like a new one every week.
He's got the top troll, the agent, Mino Raiola. Quote, Paul Pogba, likely to leave Manchester United in the summer. Sky Sports. How dare you, Paul Pogba? But again, I saw this article. I just like, you know, we're reading about Bruno, all this different muppetry. This kind of pops up in my timeline and it's just like, good riddance. Just go. Like, you know, just get out of the club. Like, there's no reason. And I think this is actually, I was thinking about what was I going to say. This has been a good thing, right? Paul Pogba hasn't been in the team. It's not like he's playing lights out and he's the only good thing about this season. And without him, we're nothing. Like, that's how I felt. Paul Pogba leaving would always be like, we would be killing it with him. He does everything, assists everything. We'd be like, oh no, he's going to leave. But right now it's like, I look at this team. He doesn't even play for it. Right.
He's featured so little this season that you almost don't think of him as a Manchester United player anymore.
No,
because it's like, I don't even remember what he looks like on the pitch. It's been so long.
He came back.
And the good thing is we've won big games. You know, we've lost a lot of shit games, but we've won big games without him and shown that like this team has good bones. It needs some reinforcements for sure, but there's a good squad there. And Paul Pogba was not going to be part of it in the future. I'm like, you know, he'll play another 6 months, but he's leaving United. You know, he's made that abundantly clear. He wants to leave.
You think he's playing?
I think because he's got Euros, right? He wants to get a little practice for that, I would think. And you need to like show that you can still play football if he wants to get traded to a club for decent money. And that's the only way they're going to let him leave this summer. Is if someone's got to pay at least $100 million, I would think, to get Paul Pogba. But we'll move on. United always moves on from big players leaving, and we just have to replace him. That's not a concern.
Moving on from what? He doesn't play for us. He's taking wages. I mean, this season has been a complete joke. Paul Pogba's attitude has been a joke. What he said last summer was a joke. His agent is a joke. The whatever he's pulling on social media and everything, disrespecting Ole, you know, that's a joke. He'll come back probably in like February. He'll play some games. He'll get up to fitness right for Euros. We'll get a boost from him and he'll leave. And look, at this point, the project of Manchester United isn't let's get people who don't want to play for us. Let's get Paulo Dybala, who would be depressed at Manchester United. Let's get Paul Pogba to stay, who doesn't want to play for Manchester United. I think Paul Pogba wanted to leave under Mourinho, and him staying, this is why you can't keep footballers who don't want to play for your club. If they want to go, you got to sell them. Woodward does not understand that. He looks at the commercial appeal of players. He doesn't have to deal with the Ferguson who's dealing with the locker room. Clearly, Paul Pogba has needed to go for a while. He created all the drama with Mourinho. Clearly, Mourinho had to leave. But again, with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's been less than trustworthy.
He has, and he's shown that he clearly wants out of the club. Hasn't been a part of it, right? No issue. You know, no real urge to get back to fitness. It's a foregone conclusion that he's leaving us in the summer.
What's the point in coming back to me? Like, other than
for a big payday, he had a huge payday.
Other than get paid and then leave again. Like, you know, like what's
a little stepping stone? You know, he knew he was going to get big money that Juventus wouldn't be willing to pay. You know, obviously things didn't work out the way we thought they would with Paul Pogba. And it's time to cut the relationship, end it in the summer. Hopefully we'll have some reinforcements and some replacements brought in that can actually do a job in the middle of the park and not get injured all the time. But Paul Pogba, I wouldn't expect to see him in red next year.
See ya. But the one thing about Paul Pogba, the only benefit about him leaving is that it proves that Sir Alex Ferguson was the greatest manager of all time and made no poor decisions, sir. He bounced Paul Pogba like nothing when he was like trying to front on him that he needed playing time and they should have got a bigger deal. And he's just like, see you later, son. And he wrote about it.
He was right.
He talked about Mina Rola being the worst thing that's happened in modern football. You know, that's come to fruition. Paul Pogba came back. Everyone's like, when Paul Pogba left, he was playing great at Juventus. Everyone's like, see, Sir Alex got it wrong. He let him go. He shouldn't have let him go. We talked about it all the time. He came back and it's been a waste of money, a waste of our time. Paul Pogba got paid coming in. He's going to get paid going out, and he's likely to go to Real Madrid and Juventus. Now, that is absolutely a joke. Now, will you be following Paul Pogba's career post-Manchester United, and will you be rooting for him or against him?
I don't root for or against players that leave the club. I'm not going to like hope he does poorly. I just don't care. I'm like, oh, I'll be over Paul Pogba. At this point, I want him to come back and just finish out the season and help us get top four, and then he can go on his way. Hopefully get a big transfer fee. Hopefully do a swap deal for Cruz or something, player cash deal. But I'm good on Paul Pogba. I'm just like so over him being in the news all the time, talking about wanting to leave.
I'm sure our fans are
like sick of Paul Pogba.
Sick of us talking about it. But like the one thing when you relate to like a Lukaku, look, he left, wanted to go. He's in Italy doing well. Like it's not like, oh, I'm like, oh, I rue missing Lukaku on our team. I don't at all. And I don't mind that he's doing well. It doesn't make the decision better or worse. It's just like he doesn't fit our style of play. Like I don't think Lukaku this season, other than just having another body who can put the ball in the net like sometimes, but I just don't think he would make a huge difference in our side, right?
No, and I don't think we're going to be like willfully rooting against former players. You know, unless it's like the snake Di Maria that did like a really bad out. It's like, bad. Let them go on their way. Like you
don't root against Falcao. I mean, a Ronaldo, I'm kind of indifferent. Like
Sanchez, people root against Sanchez. I imagine they do.
I actually like Sanchez.
Seems like a decent Alexis lad Sanchez as well.
I don't know something. I wish that like the story's got to come out, right? Part of the reason, you know, that you got to hear, you know, when Woodward's out of this club, you're going to hear the full story. And I want to hear, you know, what. I want to hear more about what Mourinho has to say about Manchester United. He's been pretty coy. He said some things, but again, listening to what he had to say about Woodward, I think would be great.
Well, you got to sign that non-disclosure.
He's going to wait 10 years to go write a book, sir. Sell it. It's going to be great.
You get that 18 million. I don't know if he's allowed to with that like 18 million pound payout.
Well, we shall see. Next article. We're talking about Bruno Fernandes, Manchester United, and Sporting meet over Bruno Fernandes. Look, this is kind of the main bit of transfer news here, sir. Everyone thinks they're going to lead with that, but we lead with the Pog drama, kind of mix it up. Got to always talk about Paul P. And what could have been, sir? What could have been? But Bruno Fernandes to Manchester United, I log into Twitter. I see all these Twitter profiles. Like, we have sources. I got a guy who's in there, like Bruno's cut is happening, da, 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 da. Anyone who believes any of this stuff, it's like, here's the thing. It's in the press. Clearly, Bruno Fernandes to Manchester United, there's a deal in place. The sides are talking. Bruno would like to go, right? The first thing is the player clearly has to, like, with Juventus, Dybala. Dybala didn't want to come, right? It was Juventus wanted to do the deal. We couldn't agree to the player.
Right.
Clearly, Bruno wants to come to Manchester United. I think it's a foregone conclusion. Can we do the deal with Sporting Lisbon? Right. I think they're probably haggling over an extra 10 million, talking about player swaps. That always gets complicated. Like we just talked about Rojo. Like he has a deal in Turkey he wants, but Sporting will pay him not as much. And all these moving pieces. Now, the thing is, with these types of deals, we have time, right? It's what, January 14th, 15th, sir, at this point. And you kind of have you have 2 weeks. A little more than 2 weeks, so they can get clever. It's going to come down to it at the end of the day. Will Manchester United pay up? And then when it comes to a deal like this, I don't like it because it's lingering. It's lingering, right? So anyone who says it's done, it's not done. Like if you saw the paperwork, it's not done. They aren't agreed. They are in an advanced stage. There's a lot of things are aligning. And if I want to go on Twitter and say I have a source, it's really a coin flip on whether it's going to happen. And then I can either delete the tweet after I say it, right?
No, I mean, I think it's still too early to start getting worried. You know, it broke on Friday when the representatives from Sporting and his agent were in London trying to hash out a deal with Woodward. It's been less than a week. You know, if we get through the week, yeah, they want to sell, they need the cash, he wants to come. He's made it very clear that he wants to come to United if they do agree to a deal. makes total sense. Player that we've been in for a while. I'll get through the weekend. If he hasn't joined us by after the Liverpool game, then I start to get a little worried that the deal's dragging.
Well, the word on the street is he's going to be playing in the derby against Benfica
on Friday,
and that might be his last game. We shall see. Let's jump. We're going to play a little Sky Sports Transfer Center. We're going to react to this. Clearly, this is the top headline. Manchester United getting all the views, all the clicks, sir.
Straight to it. We're going to start with Manchester United and those developments involving Bruno Fernandes. We told you yesterday the Sporting Lisbon midfielder wants to join the club. Well, James Cooper is at Old Trafford for us. And James, is he any closer to joining United?
Yeah, it's a funny thing. You say he wants to join the club. I think he's absolutely desperate to be a Manchester United player. I think he was desperate to be a Manchester United player back in the summer. That didn't happen. United not interested then. I think they are interested now. I think Sporting Lisbon would love to deal with Manchester United for a variety of reasons. I think they want to cash in on a player because they've got a fairly precarious sort of financial situation at the moment. I think Manchester United are in discussions. There's no doubt about that. They're talking to Sporting Lisbon about bringing Bruno Fernandes to Manchester United in this January window. I think he's a player that ticks many of the right boxes for Manchester.
Sir, I could do the job on Sky Sports.
Take a breath.
It's called I have nothing to add, and I'm just going to say, yep, clearly they're talking. But this is when people, look, they get over their skis in Twitter. Don't go crazy. Like you said, deals these days take a little longer.
Especially for United.
No, there's commercial aspects. There's image rights.
There's players involved. That complicates it.
Exactly. Swap. Ed Woodward loves doing the swap deals. He loves leaving it until the last second. United just need to go like, how much is this player? 70 million. Here's 70 million. Thank you. Play against Liverpool on Sunday. Woodward always making it so complicated. Leaving. How many times have we left it to the last day? Fellaini, Mata in January. Who was another deadline day signing for Manchester United that we were Martial last minute, day late, dollar short. Woodward's always a day late, dollar short. I think Haaland like missing the whiffing hard on that one after like everything we've been linked to. It's just his way of doing business. Clearly, you know, it's not what we need at the moment. Like if I was maybe a Leicester City, it would work. Right,
you kind of haggle. For them. They seem to know what they're doing better than we do. They've made some great transfers, bought bargain buys. He just like he haggles over every dollar and drags deals out. Doesn't get enough deals done quickly enough. Can't do multiple deals at the same time. Right, he had to do one deal at a time over the summer. Apparently, was the rumor, and it actually felt that way because it feels like it was one deal a month, and we had so many players to get in. So
that's what I mean.
If we get one player, it'll be Bruno Fernandes, and that's probably the only addition we're gonna make. In January, but we certainly need it. We need additions. Bruno would go a long way in, you know, helping to shore up the attacking options, but we still need more in the center of the park for sure.
I mean, he would answer the number 10 question, assuming that he stayed healthy. Again, there, I always had, anytime you bring a new player who doesn't play in the EPL, this is why I like buying EPL proven talent. He plays in Portugal. That's great. He needs a year. You need a year. You know, you need a year.
If he comes good.
Look, Fred needed a year, right? Fred, he probably arguably needed a little more than a year. He had, I think, two weddings, had to take an extra break. So, you know, you never know with your Brazilian midfielders what they got going on, you know?
There you go. Well, that's why James Maddison is getting touted for like double the price of Bruno. So this is kind of like a bargain buy. £60 million. James Maddison is being quoted at $120 million.
Yeah,
because he is Premier League proven.
But here's the thing with Woodward. He's not the man to turn around this club. He's not the man for the rebuild. We need someone who can do more than one deal at the same time. We need someone who has, who just understands that 10 or 20 million here or there in the transfer budget really doesn't matter because it's about results. It's about top four. It's about the brand of Manchester United. It's about the fans all across the world who cheer for this team, right? And I think at a certain point, when you're haggling over 5, 10 million in incentives with Sporting Lisbon, when you can get him in sooner rather than later, it's just a waste of his time. It's a waste of Manchester United's time, sir. And I just don't think Ed Woodward is the man to be able to do this. His transfer dealings, his resume speak for itself, right?
You know, I mean, you're not going to get any arguments here, sir. You know how I feel about Ed Woodward. You know how this pod feels about Ed Woodward. He's incompetent at best. You know, on a good day, he's incompetent. So he's a big part of why this club isn't successful. He's gotten a lot wrong. Sooner he's replaced as heading up the football operations at this club, the better. Hopefully he doesn't bottle this deal.
Look, that kind of bleeds into our next bit of news, sir. Maurizio Pochettino, right? Speaking of Ed Woodward, he was quoted recently. There was a big departure. a little Spanish club known as Barcelona. Sir Pochettino's name top of the list for them, as Xavi snubbed them for the managerial role and Maurizio Pochettino heavily linked with the Camp Nou. And obviously he's been linked to Manchester United, kind of waiting in the wings. And he came out and said, quote, England and Spain are the two best leagues. That's where I want to be. So playing it coy, he could pick Barcelona. He could pick Manchester United. Where in the world is Mauricio Pochettino going to manage next season?
So you know where I think?
Where?
Always in the wheel, mate. That's what I got to say. Sir, I think he's probably going to coach at Barcelona next year because they're probably going to wrap up a deal. They got rid of their manager maybe to get him in before he gets tempted to come to Manchester United, a team that he's wanted to coach for a very long time. He's made that very obvious.
He has a very good relationship with Sir Alex Ferguson.
He loves the club. He's always wanted to be the Manchester United coach. That's like he's made it very clear publicly that that's the team that he wants to coach. He's got a strong relationship with Fergie, looks up to him. But Barcelona is a very tempting option as well. Have a little guy named Messi. I heard he's pretty good. And I bet he got a lot bigger transfer kitty than he's given at Manchester United.
But two very different teams. He's obviously, you know, Pochettino, and he's Argentinian. So, you know, the Messi connect, his countrymen. You know, there's a lot of parallels here. I have to think when I saw that, I was like, I think he will take the job unless there's already a deal in place, unless he's already shaken hands or penned something at Manchester United that we do not know about. And I would think that, look, Ole's at the wheel. How good does it feel? You know, he's been doing the best with what he's got. I think he's a perfect guy for this period of the club. But I really do think that we need a manager like Mauricio Pochettino at the helm next season, or you know, someone like that who would give the board, and this is probably even more of a Woodward and a board issue, is who do they trust with a lot of money, right? And the answer right now is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Like, they trust him with like 100 mil here and there, but when you talk about a big rebuild, big name manager, the plan, giving over power from Woodward, which apparently he told Manchester United that if he were to come in next season, that would be one of his requirements, was that Woodward be stripped of his duties or some of his duties.
Then you're not getting Pochettino as a manager. Because obviously the Glazers and Woodward are not going to give up that responsibility to a manager, to a DOF. So there you have it. That's why they like Ole, because Ole's malleable.
I have to think if we don't think of this scenario, we don't win a trophy, we don't make top four. Is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the manager? Has he earned the job for next year? And at that point, what do? You just run around looking for another manager? I don't know. I think you kind of have to have a plan if you're Manchester United, and if you're, you know, their stock's traded on the New York Stock Exchange. I think they have to be thinking forward. They need to be thinking like 2-3 years out. They have to have a plan. I think Pochettino's clearly on the list. I think he's been talking to United. I think he's been talking to Sir Alex. Sir Alex has been talking to Woodward and the board. It's one of those things where, you know, would you bet the next 2-3 years of Manchester United and $500 million in transfer spend on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at the moment? Or Pochettino, who would you give that to? Like, if you had to say next season, 3 years, $500 million, who gets it? Ole or Pochettino?
I mean, an impartial person would say you give it to Pochettino based on his track record of bringing talent into a club and building that up. But I have to say, you know, Ole's managerial career is ups and downs, but he's done a great job at United thus far bringing in players. The three that he's had have been successes across the board. The next one he's looking to bring in also looks like he could be a great player for United. I'd like to see, of course, so I'm biased. I want Ole to do well. I'm rooting for him, so I want Ole to be the manager.
I know, we're in the arena. But
no one's getting no $500 million, bro. I think that's very clear. Is the money that we used to spend on transfers is like not how it is anymore. We're spending like less than $100 million net a transfer window in the summer. And that is just a complete change for where the market is, the where the market's going, you know, the price of players these days.
Well, we're going to sell Pogba, we're going to get big money, right? I mean, I think they're willing to spend, clearly, hashtag Woodward out, hashtag Glazers out, but the fans need to demand that they spend. I think the fans are doing that, I think, by chanting Woodward's name at the weekend, chanting the Glazers' name at the weekend. This is like the fan, that's a big step for the Stretford End. That's a big step, sir. We haven't seen that since the initial takeover of the original Green and Gold campaign. Apparently, someone tweeted out they're selling Green and Gold again outside Old Trafford. I thought they were always selling Green and Gold. I mean, at least when I'm there, I usually see it.
We always wear it.
Every game I've been to, I've worn the Green and Gold in protest of the ownership. It's because they're taking money out. A billion out, City a billion in. We say it all the time. They got to spend. I think that they will, because if we don't finish top four, we don't win anything, and we finish like sixth this season, it's one of those things where it's like they need to show Wall Street pretty much they're turning the ship around. And at that point, Ole can't be the guy, and you can't give him more money to spend. So you go to a Pochettino. I think you got to be thinking, if I took the fan gut feeling out of it, it would be Pochettino every day. And if I took the fan gut feeling out of Ole when he was at the wheel, how good does it feel? I wouldn't have given him the offer until he made top four. He had to show results because he didn't have the resume. He had to give us top four to get the job. And instead, they gave it to him too early. And they kind of screwed themselves. So I have to think they might be thinking like Pochettino because of that. They might be doing the deal behind the scenes. You don't think there's a chance
that
he's the man next year and that it's already done?
Yeah, I think there's a chance because they're not stupid, and they've been looking at Pochettino for a long time. He hasn't been available. Now he is available. Obviously, he's got let go by Spurs.
But how does this Barcelona stack up? Or like, does this make you care? You're like, hey, Pochettino, go to manage Barcelona. We don't miss out. You don't care at all. You're literally just like always my guy.
Well, right,
Pochettino
now,
being the Manchester United manager isn't a good fit, and we're not missing out. That's your take.
My take is that I don't give a shit, because right now my manager is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and if he gets his head turned by Barcelona, there's nothing we can do, because they're like, hate to say it, they're top of the money league. They're much more successful in the near term than we've been, and it's hard not to be lured to that, especially these guys from the Iberian Peninsula
would want to coach. I don't disagree with that statement. I'm saying, if you're the Glazers and you see Pochettino's talking to Barcelona, do you not try to give him the offer now? Do you say? Do you attempt to try to hire him?
But that
right
leaks,
now
that
for
that
next
leaks,
year,
how does that look if that leaks? Then undermines.
Well, I mean, how would it leak? I don't think it's going to leak. Well, people have talked about that already. People have speculated in the press that it's like that. But
the word on the street is that we're already talking to Pochettino actively right now, because the Glazers and Co. look like it's a foregone conclusion that Ole's not going to finish in the top four. Unlikely we're going to finish with trophies. But like, you know, Ole's not the most experienced manager. He's definitely gotten a lot wrong, but it's like, this guy has definitely been fighting with one arm behind his back. If you look at the squad he's given, the additions and subtractions of this squad, having all these players out, Pogba basically unavailable all season, it's hard. It's hard, you know, it's hard to give an impartial judgment on the guy.
No, look, I like Ole better than Pochettino, actually, because I think Pochettino is, he's like kind of like Mr. Nice Guy as
well.
Never
won anything.
And he didn't win anything. And the way he plays, you know, his tactics with the CDM dropping to a back three, you have the wing backs like overloading. It's like, you know, it works sometimes at Spurs, but wasn't good enough. You know, like for me, you know, I'm not that excited about his style of play. If you look at the new players we need to acquire, it's like Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I don't know if he fits into that system. I don't think B Dubs even fits into that system. So you start looking at kind of the players who'd be playing. You know, the CDM Matic is perfect, right? He plays CDM. He can drop into a back three with the defenders as the wing backs attack. But I don't think that Brandon Williams and Wan-Bissaka fit into that. And I'm like, do I really want them to be replaced or kind of alter? I don't think our team is set up for Pochettino. That's why I like Ole. I like the way Ole is trying to play. But if I'm thinking about it from like a Wall Street investment perspective, you go with experience over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And so my heart tells me Ole, but my mind, sir, telling me Pochettino, right?
Well, this might compel them to act, right? Because if Barcelona's sniffing around, I still think it's going to be hard for him to say yes to United over Barcelona. If he has two offers on the table, I don't care how much he wants
Fergie,
to. This club is not well run, bro. He knows that. And they're not going to give up control like he wants. He wants a DOF, and that's like, that was leaked to the press probably by his people, and that'll be what kills the deal. Because if he was smart, he would say, like, I need say, not Ed Woodward, over what transfers get done in this club.
Look, this is a big bit. When I saw this, this is big. Look, worthy discussion on the pod, big discussion over where Pochettino goes. You know, we could be day late and a dollar short. Pochettino goes to Barca and we don't qualify. Ole's out and we're like, let's get Moise. What's Moise doing at West Ham?
Yeah, we're good. I'm like, good on no more Moise.
Dude, we get like Sam Allardyce, bro. I mean, like at this point, like Pochettino's, I mean, like who else is out there as a, that or managers that excite you, right? I mean, like, well, like, I don't who know. Else could
if,
potentially
if Poch was gone, I don't know if they would get rid of Ole, the sixth place finish and no trophies. With this squad, bro, it's like, you know, is that bad of a result considering who he had at his disposal?
No. And I like Phelan behind him. Carrick and Mechanic, I don't know what they do. You know,
hard to say. I like the idea of him.
Yeah, I like the idea of Carrick being there. Yeah. I like Carrick as a player. Yeah, great player. He was 16 all day. Next bit of news, me no go. Marino Rola holds talks with representing Marcus Rashford.
I'll say it ain't so.
Despite his fractious relations with Manchester United. I don't believe this one.
yeah, you call him bullshit?
I mean, currently Rashford is managed by his brothers, Dane Rashford and Dwayne Maynard. So they created their own agency. So, I mean, Real is definitely an upgrade, but to see him go with Riola, given all the drama, this has to be, you know, like the Lingard, Pogba, Rashford connect. You know, I know they're all friends in the locker room. I don't know. This might be it, or, you know, he's just looking for that payday. Clearly, Rashford's not getting paid enough at Manchester United per Manchester United standards. If he was playing at Tottenham, he's probably getting paid a little too much, right?
Yeah, I mean, hey, if he signs with Real, that's a very bad sign.
He's a Ronaldo caliber player. No, he should be making like Pogba money.
I mean, he just got a re-up, right? He's not making $10 million a year. He's making good money. One of the highest paid players.
Is that 180 a week?
Yeah, 180 or 200, but he's doing quite well. But it's like, if he signs with Real, that's a very bad sign.
He's probably a 280. He's probably like a year. He's
not there yet.
He's 27 goals away. He's a 27 goal season away from that, or 30 goal season all competitions.
Dude, if he stays, you know? I mean, if he stays healthy and can get back from this injury, he's on course for 30 goals this season.
Look, I pay the man, Woodward. What do you mean? Looking at. Fan question, sir. We appreciate all the tweets. Thank you for always tweeting us the best banter in all the land. Jumping in here at Blair_with_no_e_, quote, why did we not man Mark Neves on corners, sir? I mean,
hard to say, sir. Well, we do a lot wrong on corners. I mean,
it looks pretty shambolic, actually.
We always look disorganized, you know. Should get some slack towards Phelan and Co. for whatever's going on from set pieces. But we always look very vulnerable off of corners, and that was no exception today. Neves outside of the box. Like, they just kept rolling it to him.
At Diego GDB on Twitter, quote, another game, another clean sheet for Romero. Incredible. I'm calling him Mr. Clean Sheets. Sir.
I like it. Best backup keeper in the world.
At Charlie_Ferris on Twitter, quote, ugly win, but not a bad game. Wolves a hard side to beat. Solid day all around. And thank you to Charlie for the blog contributions. If you haven't seen our blog, www.americanreddevils.com, trying to get as much fan-generated content up there as possible. This podcast is for fans, by fans, sir.
All day.
Manchester United fans, best fans in the world. At Pablo_P_818, that midfield ... there is zero creativity versus the decent teams who really struggle to score goals, let alone create chances. Sir, what do you make of that? This is a pretty harsh criticism. We won 1-0 at home.
I mean, he's right. There is very little creativity out of Fred and Matic. Yeah, it's really just like wide play, occasional forward pass. That's where you need a Bruno Fernandes, right? Someone can bop in those balls over the top to get the runs that the players are making. I hate to say it, I've been watching these games, and you realize those forward players are making runs. There's just no one picking them out for pass.
There was one, I think, where Martial got the ball, and James could have run into space, and he just kind of made a lazy run. Then Martial took the shot. Kind of made it lazy. Like,
this team is built for that. There's so many quick players.
I saw Dan
that make
James.
That
was a bad. He made a bad call. He could have made a serious run into space on the left hand side, and said he did a lazy overlap, kind of dragged the defender. And Martial got a mediocre shot right at Ruddy. Dan James is young, right? And he came out hot. And look, that's hard. He's got to grow into those shoes a little bit, I think. And him starting against the Scouse Bastards, that'd be a big step up for the little guy. At T Zolski on Twitter, quote, we got the Juan Mata on the scoreboard for Rashi. Crossing my fingers, three crossing fingers emojis for Rashi. Earn your damn money, Ed Woodward, and get us Bruno now. B Dub, where would we be without him? On to the next round. I mean, Brandon Williams, like, man of the match every time he plays. Unbelievable kid.
Get us Bruno Fernandes, though, Ed Woodward. If you are listening, I know you're not.
Bruno is not the, he's not like, you know.
We need signings.
He's
need
not
bodies.
Our savior.
Of course he's not. No like, signings ever our savior. It's
he's
just like
a
we need
good to, player. He's a Portuguese national player who plays.
He scores goals.
In a poor
he creates
league,
goals.
Scoring from the halfway line. And he might, he's a, literally a coin flip. It's literally like, will he be good or not?
And he probably won't hit the ground running.
Like, yes. So I'm just not that hype about Bruno Fernandes. Like if you say, Paulo Dybala, hype. Very excited about Paulo Dybala coming to Manchester United. Bruno Fernandes, it's like a Fred.
I'm more hyped than you. It's like Fred's coming from Shakhtar.
You know, we'll see. You know, it's like with Bruno Fernandes, he's not going to. James Maddison, I'm hyped for that. Sancho, I'm very hyped for that signing as well. Holland, very hyped for that. Bruno Fernandes,
I'm hyped. I'm buying a Bruno Fernandes shirt.
You're not allowed.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
Well, I'm doing the equivalent of that, which is saying I'm hyped. He's my guy. All right. I think he's going to be a success.
Okay. Bruno Fernandes to United. How many? This is the bet, sir. Steak dinner. Over under on amount of goals for Bruno Fernandes.
The rest of the season?
Rest six. Six goals, all competitions.
I'll take over on that.
I'll take the under. I'll take the under. Okay. Another stake bet here on go. The podcast. There you go. At Michael 72. It's a wash, by the way, if we don't sign him.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I know it wasn't pretty, comma, but we overcame the Wolves curse. Mata and Matic continue to be crucial for us, and Williams is making you want to buy his jersey, but I'm Glazers out, so I can't.
I love it.
And at Michael 72, won the score prediction, getting American Red Devils pin. We're going to ship that in the mail. Amazing. 1-0 Mata goal. I mean, I thought no one would guess that.
That's awesome.
I mean, great guess from at Michael 72, and thank you for the tweet. I'll never forget when we bet Memphis Depay. You said he would score more than 10 goals for Manchester United. That was
swing
one of my
miss.
Favorite bets of all time. And I think you got the jersey on top of that.
I did not get the jersey. I would not buy a Memphis jersey. I'm good.
At 20_
I got a Darmian jersey instead, which really worked out. We didn't replace Darmian. That's a player that we don't talk about enough, you know?
Yeah, no. Well, we missed the chops. We did say the sideburns. We do miss the Mateo Darmian, a legend. Kind of like the Frederico Makeda haircut there, sir. Quote, hope Rashford's okay and Mata has been something else for the last two matches. I watched the recap of when we won and L. Mata was key in many matches. I know he is older, but maybe he can be special again and we can make a run for silverware. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodward out. Hashtag MUFC. It makes me so proud to see these tweets with the hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Woodward out, sir.
A lot of it. I like it.
I'm a proud podcaster when I see our fans just hitting the nail on the head, and especially the Stretford End when they're singing full voice. But yeah, Mata, we can get some juice out of him this year. I think he can go on a run, a couple of matches. He needs some rest, though. He's getting old.
Yeah, I mean, we can't rest all our hopes on Juan Mata. That's going to be a big expectation of the guy, especially after he's had some good performances in a row. But he's over the hill for sure. So expecting to have three great performances in a week is a tall ask for the Spaniard.
All right, at 2 Foot Talk on Twitter, is Greenwood ready to start, sir? What do you think? He got the hook.
I mean, not every match, but some matches he should be, for sure. But like, you know, League Cup games, I don't think he's ready to start at Anfield. Get the Scouse bastards. I wouldn't test him for that.
All right, just because the handle at Billy Badfinger, this looks a little to the negative. Quote, pretty shit game, but glad we got the W and move on. Mata has bailed us out a couple times now. It only took 6 years for him to get to play his preferred position. Brandon Williams, impressive again. If he wasn't a footballer, he'd probably be a serial killer. Interesting take. I don't know about that one. I think Brandon, if he wasn't a footballer, what would Brandon Williams be? What do you think?
He looks like a pop singer, bro. He looks like he could get a boy band, Brandon Williams.
I could say like a valet. He could valet my car, sir.
I have higher hopes than Brandon. He just seems like a very talented young man.
He could be like a car mechanic at best. I don't know. Brandon Williams.
I think higher Brandon.
Never met the lad. Last tweet here. Thank you for the tweets. At Heath Malger on Twitter, quote, feel like Ole saying he didn't want to play Rashford in his presser was a shot at Ed for not giving Ole a deep enough squad to play in all competitions. Look, Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, but you read the tea leaves like Heath is suggesting. Kind of a swipe. He does kind of swipe the board, but it's not quite Mourinho troll level, you know?
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that, but it's actually very true. It's like, he's got three strikers and one's 18, so not a lot of firepower to work with, but I think he's definitely biting his tongue. You know, he wants to say more, but he knows he can't.
Sir, it has been an amazing podcast. It's already been an hour and 15 minutes, sir. I mean, time just Liverpool flies. Liverpool preview. What do you expect? Liverpool preview. Time flies when you're having fun and talking about the club we love. And so thank you to all of you who listen to us. We really appreciate all the downloads, all the support across all the social media platforms, as well as writing the reviews on iTunes. I mean, that's huge for us. We have 217 reviews. I love them. They're cheeky. If you haven't written a review and you listen to this podcast, please do it. It helps us get found. Clearly, iTunes is one of the number one places for podcasts. Also, Spotify, SoundCloud, we're on everything. But if you can write a review, that's how other people find us, right? That's kind of how the search ranking works. And at a podcast operation our size, in the bunker, attached to your garage, sir, doing everything ourselves on the live soundboard here. I have no idea how any of this works, but you know, we're making do.
Every pod's live. It's like unbelievable. And the reviews go a long way. And we're still giving the sticker giveaway. So just send in a picture, a screenshot of your review, send it to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com and with your address, and we'll send you a sticker for free. All we need is a cheeky review, good review, whatever you want to say. Just tell us what you think about the pod.
We're fans first. We're podcast hosts and audio engineers second. I think that's safe to say. Heavy on the fan.
Heavy on the banter.
But when it comes to learning how to get all this stuff out, but regardless, we always try to get you a pod after every match. That's something we've dedicated ourselves to, and we love doing it. I mean, this is just, you know, with the losses, it's like therapy. With the win, it's such a great celebration. The ups and downs. Where Manchester United stops this season, nobody knows.
It's a roller coaster, nobody baby. It's always knows. Like that.
I mean,
ups and downs.
I mean, I have to get some odds from William Hill on the top four. I think that would be a great bet. All right, sir, it's been a hell of a week for downloads. We have some international flavor on our top cities. Give us our downloads the last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? Namur, Belgium, what's going on? Number two, Los Angeles, California. And number three, New York. Keep us going, sir.
San Francisco, California, Bay Area, Chicago, Illinois, Chirac, Naperville, Illinois, Denver, Colorado, Mile High, sir. Call it Mile High for a reason. Finish us off on this list.
South Turramura, Australia. We hope you guys are doing okay with the fires down there.
Yeah. Shout out to Australia. Terrible fires.
Stay safe. Atlanta, Georgia, number nine. And last but not least, Dallas, Texas. Appreciate all the downloads. Hey, times are tough. We got ups and downs being a Manchester United fan these days. But there's always promise. There's always great hope. This is still the greatest club in the world, run by a bunch of morons. But the fans are top draw. And things are looking up.
Scouse Bastard Sunday, sir. And as always,
kicking a blue. Kicking a blue.